The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. In the 1980 National Affairs Briefing, Ronald Reagan recognized the truths and solutions found in the Bible.
It is an incontrovertible fact that all the complex and horrendous questions confronting us at home and worldwide have their answer in that single book.
Renewing America's commitment to the principles of God's Word, next on Life Today.
I'm James Robinson. I welcome you to Life Today. I opened yesterday with a broken heart for a nation in desperate need of healing. And you heard the beginning of a miracle where freedom that was so threatened by Soviet dominance, communism, through an incredible, unparalleled military buildup, nuclear weapons, total dishonesty. And a miracle occurred. You're going to hear where the pendulum began to swing. And as I told you yesterday, it was because God put it on Billy Graham's heart what was going to happen and brought it to a few of us who were able to really respond to what God had put on Billy's heart. Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, joined with him and called a small circle prayer meeting for 2 days at what was the old Airport Marina Hotel. Now I think it's the Hyatt Hotel out at the Dallas DFW Airport. But that meeting, literally, because of what happened after it, a great prayer meeting known as Washington for Jesus, approximately 1 million people coming together. It was a time that I asked my wonderful Baptist friends if they would join with a Pentecostal preacher named John Jimenez, if I would be a tri-chairman and Bill Bright would join, and we would join a very visible broken-hearted Pentecostal pastor who just wanted America to come back to Jesus. And I asked Charles Stanley and Adrian Rogers, would you come and let's preach there, let's put our arms together. I preached in Constitution Hall the night before on spiritual unity and the fact that we really need it in order for our nation to be spared the obvious loss of freedom that was becoming apparent with the Soviet threat and our diminishing strength and our excessive out-of-control weakening federal government, excessive taxation, so much going on. By the way, I joined with Jay Richards and wrote the book Indivisible, which Governor Huckabee said that if you read this book and grasp the wisdom in it, it can no longer be said of you what the Old Testament says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, because you'll have the knowledge and insight necessary to help correct our perilous course. And I'll send it to you if you'd simply help us rescue people that are trapped in the sexual trade around the world as prisoners. But the meeting that came out of that prayer meeting, following the great prayer meeting, following what Billy Graham asked us to pray about, led to the National Affairs Briefing. And if you'll go back online, lifetoday.org, probably can find it on YouTube, but just listen to that message yesterday. And then to President Reagan's Open, which you'll hear again in a moment, and following me preaching the necessity of returning to God and getting back to biblical principles and not depending upon an out-of-control federal government and printing up worthless money. It was like it needed to be preached right now today. And that's the reason we wrote the book. We're trying to tell you what we have to know, the truth we have to know in order to be free personally and nationally. If you care about the poor, if you care about the middle class, if you care about the economy, if you care about the health crisis, you must come back to the shelter and shadow of the Almighty. No new form of Pharaoh can solve our problems. Listen, if you pay any taxes, and fewer are, and yet it's being taken and distributed, listen to me, it's your money. And you're a steward, an overseer under God, and you let people waste and misuse that money and live so economically out of control that if you live that way or businesses were run that way, you'd be put in the penitentiary. And we're tolerating it. Somewhere we've got to return to sanity. listen to Mr. Reagan, who was then so far down in the polls, no way he could have been elected. But after what you hear and what happened in the National Affairs briefing, the pendulum swung. A miracle of God happened. And it wasn't because of a party, wasn't even because of a person. It was because of the power of prayer and a return to principles. Listen to Mr. Reagan speaking right after I have preached.
Thank you. Thank you. Our two good governors who are here, Dr. Criswell, Reverend Chairman, ladies and gentlemen here on the platform, and you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, a few days ago, I addressed a group in Chicago and received their endorsement for my candidacy. Now, I know this is a nonpartisan gathering, and so I know that you can't endorse me, but I only brought that up because I want you to know that I endorse you and what you are doing. Since the start of my presidential campaign, I and many others have felt a new vitality in American politics, a fresh sense of purpose. A deeper feeling of commitment is giving new energy and new direction to our public life. You are the reason. Religious America is awakening, perhaps just in time, for our country's sake. I've seen the impact of your dedication. I know the sincerity of your intent, and I'm deeply honored to be with you here tonight. You know, I'm told that throughout history, man has adopted about 4 billion laws. It's always seemed to me, however, that in all that time and with all those laws, we haven't improved by one iota on the Ten Commandments. Today, you and I are meeting at a time when traditional Judeo-Christian values based on the moral teachings of religion are undergoing what is perhaps their most serious challenge in our nation's history. Nowhere is the challenge to traditional values more pronounced or more dangerous than in the area of public policy debate. So it's fitting that the topic of our meeting should be national affairs, for it is precisely in the affairs of our nation where the challenge to those values is the greatest. In recent years, we've seen a new and cynical attack on the part of those who would seek to remove from our public policy debate the voice of traditional morality. This tactic seeks not only to discredit traditional moral teachings, but also to exclude them from public debate by intimidation and name-calling, as we were so eloquently told just a short time ago. We have all heard it charged that whenever those with traditional religious values seek to contribute to public policy, they're attempting to impose their views on others. We're told that any public policy approach incorporating traditional values is out of bounds. This is a matter that transcends partisan politics and demands the attention of every American regardless of party. If we have come to a time in the United States when the attempt to see traditional moral values reflected in public policy leaves one open to irresponsible charges, then the structure of our free society is under attack and the foundation of our freedom is threatened. Under the pretense of separation of church and state, religious beliefs cannot be advocated in many of our public institutions, but atheism can. You know, I've often had a fantasy. I thought of serving an atheist a delicious gourmet dinner, and then asking he or she whether they believed there was a cook. When I hear the First Amendment used as a reason to keep traditional moral values away from policymaking, I'm shocked. The First Amendment was written not to protect the people, and their laws from religious values, but to protect those values from government tyranny. This is what Madison meant when he drafted the Constitution and that precious First Amendment. This is what the state legislatures meant when they ratified it. And this is what a long line of Supreme Court decisions have meant. But over the last two or three decades, the federal government seems to have forgotten both that old-time religion and that old-time Constitution. In our own country, we can get our house back in order. The drugs that ravage the young, the street crimes that terrorize the elderly, these are not necessary parts of life. Despite some intolerable court decisions, we do not have to forever tolerate the pornography that defaces our neighborhoods. Or the permissiveness that permeates our schools. We can break the yoke of poverty by unleashing America's economic power for growth and expansion, not by making anyone the perpetual ward of the state. We can cherish our aged, helping families to care for one another rather than driving their members into impersonal dependence upon government programs and government institutions. When I made the decision to seek the presidency, I quoted one of those early colonists who landed on the Massachusetts shore, telling the little band with him that the eyes of all mankind were on them and that they could be as a shining city upon a hill. Well, the eyes of all mankind are still upon us, pleading with us to keep our rendezvous with destiny, to give hope to all who yearn for freedom and cherish human dignity. We have God's promise that if we turn to him and ask his help, we shall have it. With his help, we can still become that shining city upon a hill. I've always believed that every blessing brings with it a responsibility. The responsibility to use that blessing wisely, to share it generously, and to preserve it for those who come after us. If we believe God has blessed America with liberty, then we have not just a right to vote, but a duty to vote. We have not just the freedom to work in campaigns and run for office and comment on public affairs, we have a responsibility, as you've already been told again so eloquently tonight, to do so. That is the only way to preserve our blessings, extend them to others, and hand them on to our children. If you do not speak your mind and cast your ballots, then who will speak and work for the ideals we cherish? Who will vote to protect the American family and respect its interest in the formulation of public policy? Who, if not you, and millions more like you, will vote to defend the defenseless and the weak, the very young, the poor, and the very old? When you stand up for your values, when you assert your civil rights to vote and to participate fully in government, you're defending our true heritage of religious liberty. You're standing in the tradition of Roger Williams, Isaac Backus, and all the other dissenters who established for us the rights of religious conscience. Much has changed since the Constitution guaranteed all Americans their religious liberty. But some things must never change. The perils our country faces today and will face in the 1980s seem unprecedented in their scope and consequences. But our response to them can be the response of men and women in any era who seek divine guidance in the policies of their government and the promulgation of their laws. When the Israelites were about to enter the Promised Land, they were told that their government and laws must be models to other nations, showing to the world the wisdom and mercy of their God. To us, as to the ancient people of the promise, there is given an opportunity. a chance to make our laws and government not only a model to mankind, but a testament to the wisdom and mercy of God. Let it be said of us, let it be said of us, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. May I close on a personal note? I was asked once in a press interview what book I would choose if I were shipwrecked on an island and could have only one book for the rest of my life. I replied that I knew of only one book that could be read and reread and continue to be a challenge: the Bible, the Old and New Testaments. I can only add to that, my friends, that I continue to look to the Scriptures today for fulfillment and for guidance. Indeed, it is an incontrovertible fact that all the complex and horrendous questions confronting us at home and worldwide have their answer in that single book. Could I just take one more moment of your time? And maybe here I'm telling a little story that you perhaps have already seen. I don't know how it is being circulated. I only know that it came into my hands by way of a friend. It was a card, a single paragraph on that card, author unknown. But the author was telling the story of a dream the author had had. A dream of walking on the beach beside the Lord, while all the scenes of his lifetime flashed in the heavens above, leaving the two pairs of footprints in the sand. And then, as the final scene of his life was on the sky, he turned around and looked back at the path on the beach. And he saw that every once in a while, there was only one set of footprints. And he said that every time the one set of footprints came at the time when the scene in the sky was of a terribly troublesome and despairing time in his life. And he said, "Lord, you said that if I would follow you, you would walk beside me, that I would always have your help. Why is it that in the times when I needed you most, you left me? And I see only one set of footprints." And the Lord said, "My precious child, I would never leave you in your time of trouble. When you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was when I went to the hotel room that night, got down on my knees and thanked God. He clearly spoke to my heart and said, "The pendulum swung. Freedom for this nation has been extended. The enemy has been defeated." Never heard anything more clearly communicated to my spirit. I told Betty that. Mr. Reagan, won the election, an incumbent president out. Again, I repeat, one who was a wonderful Sunday school teacher and a wonderful man in our own denomination, Southern Baptist. But we put a man in the lead And I had had time alone with him, extended praying before that meeting. And I remember when he told me, after one of our first exchanges, when I really, really shared Christ, I said, "What does Jesus mean to you?" And he paused and said, "Well, you know, my father was an alcoholic. Never had a father. My mother was the greatest influence in my life." And he said, "Jesus is more real to me than my mother." When he said that, I just bowed my head. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He had told me earlier, and the same thing he told me on another previous conversation, that George Washington was his hero, and he began to tell me why. And Washington had great convictions, but he was a unifier. He brought people together, very diverse. Well, all that happened. It really, really was a miracle, for which I'll always be grateful, and it happened because of prayer. It's really interesting for you to remember, very important, that he said, "I endorse you." The church and Christians are supposed to participate in whatever party you want to actively, but keep pointing the party and candidates and people to the principles and the standards of God. By the way, that is what Jay Richards and I sought to do when we wrote the book Indivisible. And it was endorsed by the men Reagan respected most in his life and that he quoted most frequently, people like George Gilder, who wrote Wealth and Poverty. Huckabee said it's the game changer. Governor Huckabee says, if you read this book, the scripture, "My people perish for lack of knowledge," will no longer apply. I'll send it to you today. It's in the bookstores. It's a New York Times bestseller. You can get it paperback on by going to Amazon or online, but we'll send it to you. If you'll just do something very special. And by the way, encourage everybody you know to go online and watch yesterday's program and today's. And that whole National Affairs briefing where I preached and then Mr. Reagan spoke, it's on YouTube. And the message that he delivered and the message I delivered sounds like it's something that needs to be delivered today. Matter of fact, I wonder if this shouldn't be played in every church in America, every cathedral, Catholic and Protestant. I joined with a Catholic to write this book because people who understand Creator God and God the Father and importance of family and understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, boy, we need to be like a shining city set on a hill and quit being hidden and cowering down and not standing in love and speaking the truth in love because we care about the suffering and the poor and the downtrodden. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to do what our viewers tell us they love to do. They like to do it so much to help us rescue children and girls from being sexually trafficked and held as slaves in sexual predatory activity. Would you help us rescue these precious children, these girls, and help us build a safe house in Cambodia where the need is so great? Some of our friends have said, "We'll match anything you give." It takes $128 to rescue one. Would you do that? We have some gifts to send you. I'll send you Indivisible if you'd like to have it. It deals with some of the areas that we addressed and concern in the program yesterday and today, and a lot of our prayerful concerns. But listen, if you could give that $128, it'll be doubled. If you give $64, we'll have enough for one. And then if you could give a large gift to help us build that $350,000 for the safe house in Cambodia where the need is great to rescue these girls and these children, would you make that life-giving call? Please do it. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. And let's pray for our nation to be rescued and restored. Thank you for calling. Going online. Making the gift using your bank card like a check.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life.
The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God, who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the Safe House in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
So this is my first time in Southeast Asia, and my very first opportunity to come face to face with the victims of sex trafficking here. The girls that I met in the brothel really expressed so much of feeling trapped, feeling hopeless, feeling like there was no way out for them. And I can just imagine how hopeless that felt. You know, I even asked one of them what help looked like. What would it look like to be helped out of this situation? And she couldn't even come up with an answer, because to her, there was no help. There was no option. The body of Christ could totally change the world when it comes to modern day slavery. But we have to be willing to let our hearts be broken for these girls.
I hope you will be asking for this beautiful glass sculpture, The Blessing. What a blessing when we reach out to others. Thanks for helping us build the safe house. Thanks for praying and standing up and being the shining city set on a hill. If you want understanding of the times, which we so desperately need, take the time to read this book. I would suggest you start a community study on it, church studies on it. You're going to be blessed. Do you know even the liberals didn't criticize it? How can you criticize absolute truth that you can see it works and has throughout history? If you love people, you love the poor, and you want freedom to be here, read what's in this book, okay? We'll send it to you to say thanks, or you can go online and get it. God bless you. Thanks for watching Life Today. Tell your friends to watch online, okay?
Person on the planet has the capability of being a great man or woman of valor.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.